You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tuesday, All Marine Radio. Getting over mosquito bites from when it was so hot here. Yeah. No covers on. Doors open. Not a good deal. We used to have this kind of a stick that would take this itch and sting out of it. I don't know what happened to it. It's an asset. The DOD has spent billions of dollars on mental health, destructive behavior programs. Why do you think that doesn't work? I'd be curious. Why do you think that doesn't work? I got to thinking about that a lot yesterday. I don't have an answer for you, but I think... So I'm curious, if you have thoughts about that, shoot me an email and let me know what you think. Why do you think the DOD, right? I mean, there must be, you know, all these brilliant people, you know, working there. I mean, I think there is. I hope there is. Working in the area of mental health. Yet the only thing that the DOD has gotten is more suicide. Why do you think that is? Why do you think we can't stop young people who've never been to war from killing themselves? Yeah, I'm thinking about that. And after seeing the success of post-traumatic winning, I'd be curious to sit in some of those meetings and listen to the things that get talked about. Because I think if you know the target audience, if you've lived with them, if you know them, and I got to assume that some of those people have come, you know, they're not all behavioral health dorks that don't hang out with us in high school, right? Went to college when most people enlisted. In college, those of us that went to college didn't hang out with them very much, if at all. Maybe we crossed paths in the cafeteria, but we didn't hang out with them. And I mean, all those programs and the people that bring them to market, I mean, they all can't be like that. Why do you think they don't work? I mean, think about it. The Air Force is on a rate to double their suicide rate. Double it. Now, that's just not missing the mark. That's not even coming close to the target. You're not speaking, right? You're not, you know, you don't habla, man. You don't talk. You don't. They don't hear you. So, I would be curious if you have any thoughts about that. And I mean, if you do, by all means, shoot me a note and tell me. Shoot me a note and tell me, what do you think? How can that be? And I would be curious. The Godfather just weighed in a minute ago, I think. His mug popped up on my phone. And he says, and again, the one thing about Bob Nielsen, in addition to him being a caustic human being, which he is, he's been around as a combatant during Vietnam. He's spent a lot of time at Walter Reed. And so he's seen it, and not seen it for like 30 days or 60 days. He's been going down there for close to 20 years. And he's been helping veterans for much longer than that. He's been helping veterans for 50 years. Here's what he wrote. DOD, give them meds, hide the symptoms, pass on to the VA, and get rid of the problem. But, okay. Well, okay. Is that it? Because the DOD has the luxury, so let me ask you this. They can't even deal with the active duty problem, right? They're unable to deal with the active duty problem. They can't even keep people from not killing themselves while they are on active duty. And not only can, I mean, and that number, that rate continues to climb in spite of the $1 billion that they've thrown at it. Now, I should have found the audio before I even went down this rabbit hole, but I did the interview I did with Sergeant Doe, and in that interview, he talks about it. Oh, by the way, if you're going to be send me your basic shithole weather update, make sure you have what city you're in and the current temperature and sky condition. Okay, there's three elements. Name of the city. I got one from Saskatchewan yesterday. I don't live in a city. Okay, send me the nearest mile marker. Help me reference this shit. All right. So when I tell everybody Saskatchewan, I mean, if you've ever been there, there's like nothing in Saskatchewan. Like you could drop a nuclear device in Saskatchewan, nobody would fucking know. They wouldn't even see the mushroom cloud. Yeah, there's like nobody lives up there. So you got to give me like a reference point in either Manitoba or Alberta that can take me, or in the United States south. Yukon doesn't work so much to the north, but give me a reference point. All right. So when you're going to give me here in a little bit, when we do the weather, I'll go through and do the shithole weather update, which would be your towns. Yeah, Salmon Arm, Idaho. I can't remember the name in Montana, where Montana man lives. It's slipped my brain. Vacaville, right? So anyway, three elements: name of your city, or grid coordinates. No grid coordinates. Okay, I'm not going to do grid coordinates. Actually, you know, if you give me the entire grid coordinate, I'll plot it and I'll do that. Okay. I can see what a good human being I am. I'll even do that. Okay. So, city where you're located, or how far out of a city you're located, that works too. Sky conditions, cloudy, overcast, fair. I don't even know what the fuck fair means. Okay, so while I digress and before I go back to Sergeant Doe's interview, what does fair mean in weather reporting? Fair. It is usually used at night to describe less than 3/8 opaque clouds, no precipitation, no extremes of visibility, temperature, or winds. It describes generally pleasant weather conditions. Boom, bitches. We all just learned something because I sure as hell didn't know that. Fair is usually used at night to describe less than 3/8 opaque cloud cover. Now, my F-18 guy would know what that means. I don't. 3/8 opaque clouds? Like, okay. I guess that's a density measure of some sort. 8/8 would be solid. 1/8 would be not very much. Halfway cloudy? I don't know. That you can see halfway through it? That you have 50% visibility through it? I think I'm getting someplace on that. I think I just had a little breakthrough. No, maybe I should call F-18, man. Hey, look, I don't choose how this show gets run. This show chooses how it gets run. Let me see if he's around. You can hear the conversation. I'll put it on speaker. He might be taking kids to school. Montana just reported in. He's on it. This is how my friends treat me. This bullshit. Here we go. Now we're going to go to voicemail. That's what we're doing today. I don't think so. All right. So if I could, let me grope my way through an interview that I did with Sergeant Doe yesterday. I want you to hear what he says about, well, what did you, when I ask him something like, what did you remember about the class? Okay. So here's Sergeant Doe. In his own words. That isn't Sergeant Doe in his own words. You know what? I did this yesterday, too. What an idiot. So give me 1 second. I have to add the file. I added the wrong file. See, I'm not even gonna explain it. It has to do with the file that it gets recorded into, and then the live broadcast is in a different one that's dated, and then when I go to play it, sometimes, because I'll have my head up my ass and I won't be thinking like that, I'll take the shell that I create, yeah, I'll take the shell that I create, and I'll say, oh, there it is, let me play it. But I haven't recorded that. I'm playing the original interview, and then I grab the shell and then I hit play and nothing happens, which is never a good thing on radio. Okay, so now everybody pay attention. Here it is.
You're yeah. Listening to All Marine Radio.
I like it when shit works.
Radio Network.
Anything she needs, yeah. You can call me. Ed Sheeran. It's my walk up music now. Yeah, okay, so now let me.
The next guest has,
he doesn't know this, and I should.
Whoa, that's what a wonderful voice that man has.
Okay, so now this is what you call groping through the interview. So bear with me.
And they started giving me the speech and pulling out the cards and the book and everything. And I said, you know what? I think I've heard enough. Where do I sign up at? And I said, well, hey, bud, you're 17 years.
He signed up. He was going to college on a scholarship to be a geologist. Walks into a recruiter and comes home and says, I want to join the Marine Corps. I'm like, what the fuck?
Vince, though, she definitely wanted me.
His mom didn't want him to go?
They didn't think that was going to, you know, make a difference.
What do you remember most about the class? Oh, shit! This is called boom! Okay, so, now, here's the point I want to make. So, the DOD and the VA spending billions of dollars on a message that evidently doesn't resonate. Because if it resonated, you see results. And not only does it resonate, it doesn't resonate to the extent that the numbers are going up. Like, really? Well, again, I have something that works. Boom. And I don't apologize for that anymore. I don't soft sell it anymore. Right? And I think, and it works because of this. Listen to this answer.
What I remember most about the class is just the no bullshit sense of the whole class. Like, nothing was sugar coated, and just the fact that even if you don't want to go, get professional help. You just need to be honest with somebody about it. You need to talk to at least one person to get it off your chest, and that's honestly was my big takeaway from it.
You know, I don't. He talks later. A lot of people see it as a, you know, you got to go see a therapist. And to me, I always say, I mean, to me, therapist is your third choice. If you're married, certainly don't be afraid to bring your spouse into your world because you need. Am I fucking brilliant or what? I'm listening to myself in amazement. Right?
You need
somebody who's a great friend. Who you respect. And don't send me the Mac back away from yourself, bro.
And those to me are both, you know, are both, you know, the people that I go to, before I don't have a spouse anymore, but before I go talk to them and I think that kind of no bullshit advice that you could put into
I think what he's going to say here is the second part of what he wanted to say. First of all, post-traumatic winning is what I call blunt force truth. Boom, in your fucking face. And if you don't fucking like it, I don't fucking care because this is the fucking truth. Right? And is the profanity really necessary? In my opinion, yeah. Because it's the way we talk. If you're in a part of the Marine Corps that doesn't say the F word, then you ain't really in the Marine Corps, okay? Now, I respect that not everybody embraces the F word like we do, certainly like I do, okay, and my friends do, okay, and that's all right. But when you look at young Marines, it's how they talk, right? If you listen to our interview yesterday, and if you missed that interview yesterday, go back and listen to it, Sergeant Doe. It's up yesterday, right? He goes to the class in January, didn't want to fucking go, walks out and says, that's the best class I've ever been to. Doesn't know that in his future, in less than, you know, 120 days, his father will commit suicide. Okay? And when you hear him, at the end of the interview, I ask him what I call the general question. Okay? And the general question is this. What haven't I been smart enough to ask you during this whole interview? Yada fucking ya. And people always have, you know, General Mattis piled onto it. The interview you're going to hear with General Zinni, he piles into it. And Sergeant Doe, he piles into it. Okay? And what he essentially says is, hey, if people that have been through tough stuff use dark humor to get through it, if you don't like it, get out of my fucking face. Get out of my fucking face. Right? You don't have any right to fucking judge my sense of humor or how I cope with it. And if you don't like it, fuck you. Okay, that's the vernacular. That's how he talks. That's how they talk. And where do we go? Okay. All right, boys and girls. We need to come to center right now. I mean, come on. They like to look at you like, who the fuck is this? Okay, so I think he talks about being told if you're going to kill yourself, call the chaplain, blah 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 blah. I think he says that. So stand by. That's what I'm looking for. Action right now, today, tonight, if you want to, is to me the one of the most powerful, along with the raw nature of the class, which is marine-like, right? I mean, the class is marine class. It is in your fucking face, and we don't care if you like it or not. Here you go. But I love that, by the way. I love that. And I love the shock. I love the shock of the look on people's faces when Jared from that, he'll introduce it. He says, hey, nobody can tell you not to kill yourself today. And that, like, in addition to every other table flipping event, this is like Jesus in the courtyard, right, flipping tables and thrashing the merchants on steroids. It's that event gone wrong, okay? There's tables flying, there's shit going everywhere. So if you're looking for an attention getter or how to do one, you might want to come to Post Traumatic Winning and watch how it's done. But to me, that's so important that, you know, one, stop faking it, right? We're all struggling with something, or most of us are struggling with something. Some people are fortunate, as you were, I think. I mean, you didn't have anything, you know, devastating in your life. I mean, the people, you know, relatively close to you took their own lives, but, I mean, that's still a few compartments away, and it doesn't rock your foundation. And so, interesting. So you leave the class, and March shows up, and I think we need to tell everybody, you know, were you worried about your dad taking his own life? Were you, did that come out of the blue?
I'll find the audio and I'll splice it together and I'll have it. But that question is in my head. Why? Why, along with what's fair weather, right? The various compartments of my brain. And again, we're talking billions of dollars. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars spent on mental health. And the only thing that's happening is you're getting more. So how are you missing it by that much? So I don't know. I mean, and I don't think, again, I think the answer is in leadership. It's in more, to use an Air Force term, it's not like, and here's what everybody wants to do. Everybody wants to give you an app. Mac, is this scalable? Well, if you want it to be fucked up, it's scalable. It is scalable to the extent that there's a finite number of people that have, you know, the appropriate tools to do this. Because you've gotta leave scar tissue, and that's what the delivery is about. So not everybody can do it. If you want to make it into another piece of shit period of instruction that you can say everybody got, and you don't know why the number's going up because it's a good program and we did the things that, you know, we were supposed to do, and then we sent it out there and then it didn't have any effect. In fact, the number went up. Well, what happened? Well, I would tell you this, and this is, you know, as what I know. The power of post-traumatic winning is the presentation. And part of the power is me. And I've been doing this for about 20 years. I started teaching in 1989. I started teaching. And I started doing radio in... I started teaching at the basic school in 1989. I started doing radio in 1999. And so there's an art, right, to leaving scar tissue in a presentation. And if you think you can send somebody like the PowerPoint with a script and say, do this, it's by the time that hatchet job gets done and everybody else, quote unquote, improving it or streamlining it and saying, oh, I didn't think that was necessary, so I skipped it, you know, yeah, forget it. Don't even waste your fucking time. right? Don't even waste your fucking time.
So, now I want to be in and on a small group discussion, but they don't really want me in. Well, Mac, why wouldn't they want you in? Well, here's what I've been told. If you're right, a lot of people are going to lose their jobs. You know what that means? That means millions of dollars that people are making are going to go down the shitter. If you're right. And rest assured, I am right. I know that. I know that. I used to think it. After 3/4 of a year later, I know it. So, now, I don't attribute anything nefarious to anybody. But at some point, right, post-traumatic winning going to go ba-boom, and somebody going to write an article about the suicide rate in the 2nd Marine Division. Let me tell you what we're going to do on the show today. So I'm curious, if you have thoughts on that, I would love to hear them. Why do you think that, and again, you know, the very first conversation that General Furness and I had about this was, you know, he knows that I'm writing a book or doing something because of a conversation we had in his backyard at a reception. I think it's an informal reception that I didn't even get fucking invited to. Yeah, you can imagine how that went over, especially in public when I got there. Yeah, he got the shit wire brush out of him in his own backyard on his deck. Right? Battle Buddy times 3 doesn't get invited. Really? And this is what I said in front of everybody. Do you honestly think that I could allow that aggression against me to stand? Because I can't have everybody here thinking, right, I'm weak, and you mistake my restraint for weakness. And he's like, shut up. I said, oh no, the Iraqis taught me that. Restraint is weakness. So it starts, you know, just he and I having a conversation, what are you doing, blah, 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 blah. And then probably 90 days later, after the 4th suicide in 3 months, he calls me and said, I'm not going to continue doing this, you know, what we're doing. You know, and again, he didn't talk shit about what they were doing. He said, look, I know people are trying, but obviously we're not getting the results, and we're in the results business, and I'm not going to keep doing the same things. So whatever you're working on, whatever you concluded, I want you to bring it here. And I said, all right. And then it took us till January, because the truth is, the lawyers were saying, oh, he's a friend of yours, we can't pay him, you know, this is an ethics violation. And I will tell you this, were it not for the moral courage of David Furness, this shit would not be on anybody's radar. And again, I'm headed to Colorado Springs to do it in front of the general officers of the Air Force here in a month. Okay. I headed to Quantico next week to do it at the Modern Day Marine. So, I mean, this thing just goes and goes and goes, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger. And you know what? As well it should, because it delivers. It delivers results. And when you heard that interview yesterday, and him say, I knew what to do after my father committed suicide because of that class. And I've embraced, right? You heard other people saying things that he had heard in the class. You've got to stop drinking, man. Do not crawl in a bottle. And you hear him. I mean, he's doing all right. He's between the left and right lateral limits. And that's, I mean, come on, that's a win. That's a win. And all he needs to do is keep meeting other people that are struggling with similar shit, because everybody is. You know, who they themselves have stopped faking it. And then, you know, he knows that, hey, man, I'm no different from anybody else. You know, I'm going through the car wash of life, and you get wet in that son of a bitch. And they're dealing with it. I'm dealing with it. And I can make them better. They can make me better. Steel sharpens steel, right? Steel sharpens steel. That just doesn't mean training, Marine Corps shit, right? It means we as people. We as people. I'm curious what you think. I know what I've learned, right? I know what I've learned, and in the going on 10 months that I've been doing this, and it's been pretty amazing education. But I'm curious. The DoD spends, I don't even know how much they spend. Hundreds of millions, billions of dollars on these programs, and all they get is more suicide. Why? Why do you think that is? And I believe at its core, right, you can have a great message, but if your messenger, right, for instance, Paul Revere riding through the streets of New England, yelling the British are coming, what happens if that guy doesn't have a loud voice? What happens if he's kind of self-conscious? And he kind of yells, "Hey, the British are coming," but nobody hears it. People get warned. The answer is no. So the messenger is vital to it. How are you gonna replicate that experience? That experience might change the trajectory of the discussion. So, and then there's things like the message. I said this yesterday. I've thought about this as I've thought about this problem. Nobody, I don't know anybody who's done what I've done. You know, for over 3 years, talk about mental health with veterans. I don't know anybody who's done that. I mean, and don't tell me, oh, well, we did a survey, you know. I mean, I don't know how many, I don't even know how many, you know, hundreds, thousands of interviews that I've done with veterans talking about their mental health struggle. And that doesn't even, that's the stuff I put on my website. That didn't even include all the conversations, which is probably multiple. So whatever that number is, multiply it times 3 or 4, which is the number of conversations I have off the air with people. Yeah. I don't know anybody who does that. So my point is not to, you know, separate my shoulder, patting myself on the back. My point is that I think I knew it was coming. Montana man just wire brushed me. Holy shit, get off yourself. No, it's the uniqueness of my experience. So when I look at the problem, okay? When I look at the problem, there's a messenger piece of this. And I'm not the only one who can convey the message. There's other people that can't, right? But they've got to have unique, you know, they've got to be relatively unique because it's not everybody can do it. And if you think everybody can do it, then all you can do is create another slide deck and bullshit. And then the other thing is the message has to be crafted for the target. It's like weaponeering, right? It's like weaponeering. Okay, the target isn't me. The target's them. So how do you have to craft it to appeal to them? And I mean, you listen... You listen to, you know, Marines talk about the classes they go to, and they're like, oh, shit. You know, you heard Sergeant Doe say it, I don't know, 2 or 3 times yesterday, man, you got to go to this bullshit, too, to include when he was going to help introduce it, right? He's walking up, and he sees a buddy who looked at him and says, hey, man, you got to go to this bullshit, too. And that, I mean, that's hilarious. Yeah, well, not really, man. I'm part of it. What? How funny is that? That's funny. All right, we're gonna follow, after we check the news, we're gonna follow General Mattis some more. He's been making headlines all over the country, in his interviews. And he says different things in some interviews. So I want to, we're listening a little bit more of him this morning. He did a pretty interesting interview that I haven't played that's on, he did it with CBS Sunday Morning. And it's interesting because, he's in his hometown and he's talking about the way he grew up. He's talking about playing football. He's talking about this. He's talking about that. So I want you to hear that. It's probably the most personal interview I've seen him do. And he does it with, I can't remember the name of, he does it with David Martin. Now, he meets David Martin in 1991. So he's known him for, what, almost 30 years. And so you can see why he selected David Martin, because he doesn't go there with anybody. So that's kind of interesting. And then he did an interview at a place that he now works, and that is the Hoover Institute. And the reason why I want to play that one is because he would have a certain amount of editorial control over that. And so I'm curious, you know, if he worked with the interviewer. And he may very well have not, but to say, hey, look, I'd really like to bring out these points in the book that a lot of people haven't asked about. So anyway, you're gonna hear that this morning. So we'll hear him in his own words. But seriously, give it some thought. Why do you think that that even though more and more money is spent, the numbers only get bigger? All right, so I'm curious. I want to hear that. All right, now with all that said, the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official on a Tuesday. Good morning to you. Dedicated to Sergeant Doe. Yesterday, after we got off the air, I started sending him emails from different people that had listened to the interview and had commented about it. And he was blown away. So if you haven't commented and the interview struck you, comment on it, because I'd like to forward it to him. Because for him, this is a life-changing event in a very, very positive way. And he sent me this text message last night, like, bro, I had no idea that this thing could do stuff like that. And you know, there's people that listen to the program that have no affiliation with the Marine Corps, right? Nancy in Western Pennsylvania deals with cerebral palsy. And she sent a text message, right? My quality assurance provider, she lives in Saskatchewan. She's not got no affiliation with the Marine Corps, and she deals with, you know, health issues as well. And she sent something, and he was blown away, like, holy shit. So anyway, this is dedicated to him. And there's another Marine who you're going to hear from relatively soon, whose story is will. It'll blow your vacuum tubes, and so you're gonna hear from him relatively soon. But this dedicated to Sergeant Doe for him coming on and touching the lives of people that he'll probably never meet in his life, and just thank you very much.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do.
Okay, speaking of do as I do, joining us now is F-18 man himself, okay? Otherwise known as Kurt Knowles, call sign Rudy, because it took him 7 times trying to get into flight school. Not sure why he wanted to do it that bad, but whatever. Okay, bro, explain to me what the technical term fair means in weather.
Well, fair, you have different categories of weather, like good, fair. In aviation, we say, you know, clear. Well, here's a good assessment.
You know what? This is not starting off well, man. You're stuttering, stammering all over the place.
Well, because my daughter asked me to ask her a time, and she's like, "Dad, I just want to know what time it is. I don't want to know how to build the watch." Like, all right. Let me tell you what it means, okay? So in weather, everything is based on ceiling, like how high is the clouds,
okay,
and visibility, how far you can see in linear perspective, right? So looking straight down, straight in front of you, how far can you see? So
okay,
a quarter, and they do it by miles typically, or feet.
Okay.
So they'll say a quarter mile visibility, right? Or a half mile visibility, right?
Okay.
Some will say it depends on the system. They'll do it in feet. They'll say 5,000, right? So you just have to interpolate. Okay, well, 5,000 feet equals this in miles, right? Because we tend to kind of think of everything in miles when we're growing up. In the UK and in Europe, they use meters, but not to digress too far.
Yeah,
linear, please. You know, you're looking straight ahead is your visibility.
Got it.
So when you're talking about visibility on an airport, you know, they're actually out there and they have markers that they can either see from the tower, or they'll send sometimes trucks out to the end of a runway and they'll say, I can see down 3,000 feet with each 1,000 feet of the runway is marked off.
Got
That's
it.
What, when you're, if you're on a runway, you'll see, you know, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well, that if you got the 1, that means you have 1,000 feet of pavement left.
Got
right?
It.
If you're on the runway and you see 9, you have 9,000 feet of pavement.
What happens? So, what happens? Do you ever get to 0? Do you ever see that one? That's not good, is it?
Oh no! Inside 1,000 is you're down to the end of the runway, and that's it, right? They get one's it, and actually they have lighting at the end. The last 1,500 feet is red and yellow, and the last 1,000 feet is all red. It's kind of like, all stop, bro. don't got anything left.
Put your fingers in your ears. Something bad's about to happen. Okay, so if I'm in a tower and you check on call sign Rudy, inbound, Miramar, F-18, and I say, Roger, Rudy, we have fair skies here up to 10,000 feet. What does that mean to you in your head? Well, describe it in civilian terms. I could say
fair means that it's good weather.
Okay,
right?
Hold on.
Fair. They would say scattered. They would say scattered at 10,000 or.
So you don't use
broke.
You don't use fair.
Yeah.
You would never hear
no.
fair. Okay.
So you'd hear clear. Clear would be clear. Like clear, yeah. Which got me back to when you cut me off, which you always do.
Okay, what are who shows
clear
this?
And visibility and limit.
Yeah, they don't call this Rudy talk, do they? No, they call it all marine fucking radio, right? McNamara, okay? This is not a democracy, bro. You know that. All right.
President Bush has part of one of his retreats is called CAVU, right? It's clear and visibility unlimited, That's what Cavu means.
Okay, don't ever bring that idiot up on this program again on an optional basis.
No, I'm talking about the senior. I'm not talking about junior.
Oh,
you're saying you don't like junior. Seniors.
No, no. I don't like stepping in dog shit, okay? George Bush, to me, you don't have the right to start optional wars that kill hundreds of thousands of people, destabilize parts of the planet, and then go to your Texas in pain and say, "Hey, sorry about that. Didn't see that one coming." And then
I like both of them. I know you've got different opinions.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, I know, but you're always good with the, well, you know, I could use a do-over on that. You want a mulligan on that? You know, get a
mulligan.
Fucking mulligan on that
mulligan.
Shit. Him and the rest of the idiots that gave us that one, and then get to write books and make millions of dollars on that. Yeah.
Have you seen that movie?
No, I have not seen the movie, okay? Quit asking me shit like that. I just had somebody else, another one of our friends ask me, the movie's Vice, right?
That's right, Vice. Not Veep's the one that's with Julia Louis Dreyfus. It's hilarious. It's a sitcom.
Right.
But no, Vice is a movie.
About
it's a great thing. Airplane movie. So the next time you go, you know, hopefully you're flying Delta. The next time you're going on Delta to the East Coast, throw on Vice. And it's actually really good. And it's right in your wheelhouse of kind of your opinion.
No, I know, but here's what I got told. What I got told is it slants lefty a little bit, but this is from a friend of ours, right? Inner circle friend. I found myself agreeing with it and saying, oh yeah, that's true. Oh yeah, that's true. Oh yeah, that's, I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. I watched the PBS.
I think it's spot on. It leans slightly left, but the part that I felt like I knew about, I'm like, yeah, that did happen. Or the part that they bring forward, I'm like, yeah, that probably happened. Like, you know what I mean? It kind of, there wasn't anything out there. Like, there's no way. Like, I'm like, no, that's probably how it was. Or it definitely was in the realm of either I've seen that, I knew about that, or I could believe that did happen, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right, let's get back. I'm not sure how the fuck we got to that. Okay, from your supposing to explain weather to us, and now you're telling me that fair is a term we see on TV weather, but not applicable in terms of fighter pilot aviation type of shit.
That's right.
So absolutely no use to me. Okay, what? Anything else going on in your life today that you wanna?
Well, do you want me to break down like what it means to have overcast, broken?
No. If you can't tell me what fair is, because you don't know. Okay, let me read you the definition and see if you could maybe explain a little bit of this. Fair. It is usually used at night to describe less than 3/8 opaque clouds, no precipitation, no extremes of visibility, temperature or winds. It describes generally pleasant weather conditions. What does 3/8 opaque clouds mean?
Well, we don't say that in those terms. We don't really opaque. We say cumulonimbus or stratus type of clouds. Opaque clouds, I think, would be like a cirrus, kind of like a real thin cloud, but, you know, kind of like what we consider to be, you know, for us to be like a scattered or few, like we call it few, at 10,000, like pretty much your visibility is great, weather looks great.
Do you want to know when I opted out of science?
Why?
When we went to the cloud, like, portion of the syllabus in fifth grade, this is cumulus nimbus, I was like, fuck that, I ain't doing that. That's when I opted out.
I love aviation weather, and I love, it's like I've taken special classes at it.
Oh,
and,
my God.
You know, not only in aviation, but I went to special classes at Miramar College just because I wanted to learn more about it.
You're ruining your already shitty reputation here.
I enjoy aviation weather. Aviation
stop,
radar.
Stop! Your grandfather landed on Iwo Jima. Stop this crazy shit, man.
Just telling you.
By birthright, you're a cool dude. Now you're screwing it all up.
Hey, I'm not afraid to put on the pocket protector and talk about aviation weather.
Oh my God! All right, give me a weather update. You're in San Marcos right now. Give me a weather update.
Let's see. If I was to call it outside, I would say overcast at 5,000 with they would say visibility 6 miles, which means pretty much unlimited. Yeah, you're looking at overcast about 5,000.
Those are flying conditions. What's the air temperature there, big boy?
Well, they always do it in Celsius, so it's probably... Here's a quick way to do Celsius, too.
Are you in your car? Look at your fucking mirror. It's right there.
I know, but I'm giving you... I'm going to give you... It's 67. It's 67. But if you want to ever know the quick Celsius, how to figure out Celsius, minus 30, right? So that'd be 47
right.
divided by 2.
Got it.
Right? So 47 divided by 2.
Got it. Yeah.
All right. 20.
Appreciate it.
24 degrees Celsius outside.
Appreciate that. All right. There you go. That is the man we call Rudy here on a shit show Tuesday morning here on All Marine Radio. All right, bro.
What's going on in your world? What are you doing up there?
What am I doing?
What's going on at headquarters? What's going on at headquarters?
Well, I'm getting ready to go to D.C. next week. So, Modern Marine Expo is going on there, so I'll be doing post-traumatic winning there.
That's good.
This is from Montana. Get him off! Exclamation mark. He's telling us nothing. And then in all caps, stop the madness. But,
I think I've been fired.
No. He's in a fragile state because the Red Sox got eliminated from any type of baseball, anything. And they're in a little bit of a state of despair. So he's a lonely guy in a state of despair up there. And so he's looking to lash out at somebody, and you were that guy. So don't worry.
Yeah, because imagine the interns all went back to college.
Him and the leadership issues that he has up there. You know, come on, right? Ex over
fire team. The fire team.
Yeah, he's got one fucking fire team to supervise, and then all you hear about is like tractors rolling down mountains, cows out on highways, and you're like, Jesus, man, how the hell how'd you ever do anything in life? But the post-traumatic winning thing just keeps getting bigger and bigger, which is pretty cool. And doing more and more of those dates, scheduling that, and maybe headed to...
What are you doing? When's the Air Force bringing you back out?
I go back there the last week in October. Back to Colorado, Springs, and then a whole bunch of Marine units before that, and then hopefully 3rd Marine Division after that. And then up to the University of Minnesota, Mankato. And then in January to Boston College. So, how about that?
How'd you get tied in with the universities? How did they find out about you doing it?
Okay, have you ever heard "Don't ask, don't tell"? Don't you worry about that, bro. We'd have to go into classified session for me to talk about that. No. Somebody saw Boston College. She was at the thing I did in Quantico. And so she's a PhD behavioral science person at Boston College. And then Mankato, they had been listening, for a couple years. And so, they invited me up to speak up there, a year ago. Actually, it was the first time I ever did it in public. So I'd be going back there for the second time, and now they want to, invite the public to it. They want to invite more of the campus to it and share it. So pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff.
So let me tell you a funny story before I go about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You ready for this?
Yes.
So this is like day 3 of OCS when you're first meeting your drill instructors and you're just, you know, you're literally trembling in the knees and they're screaming up and down the squad bays.
Right.
And we were getting ready to jump into the rack for the night. And, you know, they'll say, ready, mount. And, you know, everyone jumps in the rack as fast as they can, right? So without missing a beat, you hear... ready, mount, and in the next breath, the drill center goes, oh, don't ask, don't tell, I'm a Combs. The candidate was so nervous, instead of jumping on the upper rack, he jumped in the same lower rack with the other candidate. There's two candidates playing in the same rack. And the drill center never even broke a smile. He's like, oh, don't ask, don't tell, I'm a Combs.
How awesome is that?
Oh, that is awesome.
That is,
all right.
That, hey, as long as I have you on, I just got somebody that emailed me and said, hey, Mac, why don't you ask Rudy what he thinks? Rudy hasn't seen Post-Traumatic Winning yet.
I haven't. The schedule is not intentional. My schedule keeps missing your schedule.
Right. Because Rudy needs, he's going to introduce it one of these days. But anyway, I was talking earlier about the DOD has spent hundreds of millions, billions of dollars on mental health. The Air Force is on a pace to double its suicide rate. Why do you think that is? What's getting missed? Got any thoughts? Got any ideas?
What's scary is even in a broader picture, like the epidemic in suicides in general, I think, and what you're touching on is in schools and adolescents. I mean, I talked to Brianna, as she says, in high school, like, not that people are, kids are killing themselves in their high school, but they're talking about it, you know, and they're posting about it. It's crazy as a sound. It's like a dang epidemic going on right now in the United States. I don't know. I can't tell you why. I can only say that what you're doing and trying to get people to cope with the feel of, I think social media, people feel isolated. I think they feel alone. I think bullying is much easier these days. I think feeling isolated is much more prevalent because I think when you're looking at social media, in particular Instagram, Facebook, you know, whatever the case may be, I think you kind of feel like you're sitting in this place of, well, everyone's life is better than mine, and you just get to this downward spiral of loneliness, of, you know, lack of self-worth, and as you touched on before, purpose in life, that if you're not feeling that you have purpose, or maybe even giving back in some way, shape, or form, I think you get in this downward depressed cycle. I would say that one poster that you posted on your website not too long ago where the person's laying in a dark kind of, you know, hallway and he's just sitting there in that kind of a crouched position looking down. I think that's how a lot of people feel in life.
Yeah,
I think they feel alone.
I was looking for a picture of isolation because the two things that you fight, I find, that were – you can turn the light on. Breaking news, John Bolton is out as a national security advisor. President Trump informed him last night that his services were no longer needed. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody else just quit this week. Did you see that? Somebody else left.
No. So there you have it. But you post-traumatic winning, I tell everybody, it fights two deadly things. First one is ignorance, and there's no editorial significance to the word. Ignorance, literally. I just don't know. There's no high school class on how to do this. There's no college class on how to do this. And the people that go through traumatic stuff or difficult things in their lives, they don't tend to want to talk about it a whole lot, right? So most people are groping on their own in a dark room. And so when you're young, right, if you believe the narrative that you get sold as a kid that you're so unique and you're so special and you're so this, well, that means probably nobody else can understand me, right? Because I am such a unique little snowflake, and that's wrong. You're not that unique. Okay, you're like 99.9% of the other kids your age. And if they can deal with their problems, guess what? You can deal with your problems. And guess what? You guys probably have the same problems, and you can help each other.
They're saying they have problems too. That's exactly right.
Right. And so the ignorance piece is one of it. And that is where the three goals and the nine commandments come in. And then the second part is the isolation part. And you know, something that you and I talked about a couple weeks ago is you know, that thing you see on TV now where the average child quit sports at the age of 11.
And the national average is 13.
Well, you know,
U.S. national average is 13.
And 13 makes sense to me because that's where boys begin to go through puberty. And that, and if you're playing boy sports past the age of 13, they're going to get physical. So to me, but the number I saw was 11, right? And that,
well,
and
what's being tied to is that it's overcoaching, overparenting.
Right.
And imagine these, you know, look at Brianna in particular, like she's been playing competitive soccer year round for almost 10 years, I mean, without a break. I mean, can you imagine, like, she's, I just see, like, last night she had a training session. She's like, I can't do it. Like, I have too much homework. I cannot go tonight. And then she knows it's going to sacrifice playtime coming into this weekend, but she has to make choices. And I think kids are, you know, from ages 13 to 18, they're making a decision. Do I want to play with the coach
But your daughter's she plays at a high end, right? The average kid, right, is dropping out, and that trend is going younger and younger. And my point is point is that, okay, if that's trending younger and younger and fewer kids stay in athletics, then what are they doing? Who's mentoring them? Who's coaching them?
Social media.
And the answer is nobody. And that's a little bit scary.
You know who's coaching them is what they see on their videos on social media.
Right, and so you want to talk about the beginning of isolation, right? It starts with, you know, I'm not connected to mentors and coaches and things like that in my life. I go home and I hang out, and hanging out is again can be
by yourself, looking at. You know, the post of your friends, quote unquote, having fun. You're not having fun. Their life's better than mine.
Right.
I mean, I told you not too long ago, I got Brock into a strength and conditioning program with a coach. And it's not only physical, it's a lot of mental. Just to let this coach know that, hey, I'm here for you. You know, he's almost kind of like a youth pastor to Brock. It's like, I just want Brock to have a place that he's one away from the house, away from social media, has somebody he can talk to that's not his parent. Somebody that I trust, and the kids need that in their life. They need coaches. They need places that they can release energy, and they can have an outlet, and they can have somebody that they trust and can kind of, you know, mentor them through life. And otherwise, it gets to be feels real lonely, and it just, like you said, turns into this downward, isolated spiral.
All right, ma'am. First of all, I appreciate the impromptu All Marine Radio time. Thank you very much.
Awesome, man. I'll talk aviation weather anytime.
All right. Just stop pissing Montana men off, man.
Well, whatever the other weather's up there, it's probably Cavu this time of year.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You're the only one of us who's been up there. You know, the rest of us have to, at some point, get up there.
Oh, man, you got it. Bozeman is, I mean, that's God's country. I was like, I can't believe how beautiful it is up here. Amazing.
All right, man. All right. Travel safe.
I'll talk to you.
There you go.
All right, see you.
See you. Call sign Rudy. Kurt Knowles. With the weather update from San Marcos. I totally destroyed the format of the show. Hold on. We're in the middle of this. Let me resume this.
And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident. Thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I stuck around that little pay enough to
40 years, but for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
He's the shit, man. I talked to him on Saturday. He's going to come back on, I think, pretty soon. I want to talk to him about just his life after the Vietnam War. Jack Riley, man, Marine, the definition of Semper Fidelis, and... he himself a post-traumatic winner.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Email says this interesting connection you make between being so unique, nobody can understand me, and isolation. Yeah, I'll tell you what, there's a book out called The Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And in that book, I should find the audio clip of it. But in that book, that guy, he lays out, like, here's what we get told. You know, oh, you're so unique. There's nobody else like you. And he said, and the truth, you're not even close to being unique. There's millions of you on the planet. And if there's millions of you on the planet, then guess what? You ain't unique. You got the same problems as everybody else. And you sit there and listen to it, and you start laughing, right? Oh, shit. But the good part of that, yeah, you know, let me tell you, you're unique in your own beautiful personality, okay? Other than that, you're not unique. The problems you have, most of the people you know have the same fucking problem. And with that comes, like, I think, a sigh of relief and a... And a connection to other people. They can help me. They do understand me. Alright, time to do the weather. That's right, which is now a huge part of the program. So we'll do the weather, and then we'll do shithole weather, right? Right, you've already got the shithole weather from San Marcos. 67 degrees. Clouds. Alright. In Quantico. Partly sunny and 80. at the Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. It is partly sunny and 79 with no weather alert, so weather's changed drastically in a week. And at Marine Corps Base 29 Palms, sunny and 74. God, I love that. And as Rudolph just quoted, he's in the vicinity of Camp Pendleton. Camp Pendleton reports clouds in 67. At Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, clear, and 80, so it's warmed up a little bit. Okinawa, steady states, dark, cloudy, 82. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is dark, clear, and 79. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is dark, clear, and 89. At the Costa Mesa Newport Beach, home of the corporate headquarters of All Marine Radio, it is cloudy and 70. Now, now for shithole weather, all right? It is well 20 miles southeast of Big Timber, Montana. It is partly cloudy, 51 degrees, and winds from the north northeast at 5 miles an hour. As he said, man, fall is in the air in Montana already. How about that? Whoa. Big Dave in Vacaville, who started this morning, shithole weather. Currently in Vacaville, California, 56 degrees, sunny, clear, and beautiful. Have a great day. You got that. Let's see. From Saskatchewan, overcast and light rain, 11 degrees Celsius or 52 degrees Fahrenheit, Church Bridge, Saskatchewan, which is 53 kilometers southeast of the city of Yorkton on highway number 16, or 40 kilometers northwest of the Manitoba-Saskatchewan border. Or 341 miles, this is the best reference yet, 341 kilometers, oh shit. So how many miles is, hold on, kilometers to miles. KM 2 miles. Stand by. 1 kilometer. 341. 211 miles north of Minot. That's where Bev is. Okay. And so, yeah, 52 degrees with overcast skies and light rain falling in that part of the world. So, there you go. That shithole weather here on All Marine Radio. And if you'd like your shithole weather on, all you got to do is send it before I do it, and I'll be happy to put it on. We'll take a break. I'm not sure we're going to do the news today. The biggest news is John Bolton, who just tweeted, "I offered to resign last night, but the president said, let's talk about it tomorrow." And now the president tweeted, "I fired him last night." So, yeah. So John Bolton out after a relatively short run. So that's what? National Security Advisor number 3? Mike Flynn never got out of the blocks. H.R. McMaster, he came and went. And now John Bolton, who has also come and gone. So we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. I want you to hear more of General Mattis as he talks about his book. So, don't touch that dial. More of this great program next.